take a deep breath, take the higher road. That's what they always say, as if they know the way. They won't take it from me. But don't ever doubt yourself, it's life ain't just a dream. You make your own, so kick and scream. The people move alike with a never-ending force. You never had the chance, so what you waiting for? The day has come, my friend, cause this is war.
Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for joining me again. I had my 13-year-old son on last week, and we discussed a lot of different topics, one of them being BLM, transgender, and the Biden administration, all different types of things. And this week, BLM and Antifa are back in the news. So a couple weeks ago, I met my following guest, Titus Ellis Smith, at an event that I was at. And he is a young Black man, I believe like 28 years old. And so I wanted to get his perspective on a variety of topics in the news. So we're just going to get right into it and see where the conversation takes us. Thank you for joining me, Titus.
Thank you for having me.
Yes. Yeah. So what's your take on what's going on in Atlanta?
I mean, my thing is I watched a few clips and read like an article on it. And I think, I'm never about like lighting up cop cars and rioting and all. Peaceful protests are fine, but all these protests have been so peacefully to start, and then it becomes super, super crazy and dangerous. Based off the story that's being told to us by the police officers, and obviously there's other people have their own opinions saying that it didn't go down like that. It was apparently they were protesting against this city police thing being built and near some forest or something. And this kid ended up getting killed because according to the police, he shot first at them. Well, if that's what happened, them rioting and protesting the next day doesn't even make sense because it was self-defense and the cop was just doing his job, defending himself and the people around him. And so there's never any excuse for this happening. I mean, 2020, I think they're doing this thing that's happening that they were protesting in the first place because of the 2020 riots. What happened during BLM going crazy, all these people decided to, that mask and all that quarantine didn't matter anymore because they wanted to freak out over deaths, George Floyd and all the other things that happened. I think it's messed up. It's messy. I mean, it's all the details come out. I don't know. Based off what the cop said, I would say it was wrong what happened. I don't think it was. I mean, it's always wrong. There should never be rioting. There should never be looting and all that crazy stuff. Burning cop cars, smashing windows. It's so childish. And what do you think is going to be is going to come out of that? Nothing positive comes out of doing that. So,
yeah.
Based off what I've heard, it's just bad. It's just bad.
Yeah, same. I mean, when I saw that this was all happening in the news, I'm like, oh my gosh, like what happened? You know, I mean, I was raised in the inner city of Chicago, you know, and yeah, I mean, I left Chicago when I was 30 years old. So I grew up there, you know, and I grew up in a multicultural environment, not to mention that I have a lot of my, first cousins that are Black or Puerto Rican, Cuban, you know, so I never really got into this whole racial division and certainly never raised my children like that. You know, why, if somebody was coming over as a new friend, I would say, my friend, his name is Titus, is coming over.
Right.
You know what I mean?
They focus so much on race now. It doesn't make any sense. Like it's funny you say this because I brought my dad on my show like last week, and I was talking about like what was it like for you, and he was telling me what it was like for his dad and my grandpa. He was like, he's like, my father had to deal with, you know, Jim Crow laws and all those things happening at that time. He's like, but for me growing up, I didn't really have to deal with it that much. And he's 65. He's like, I didn't really have to deal with that. I mean, he's like, yeah, I went to all white school when I was in elementary. And like, obviously there was some stuff a little bit, but it wasn't enough to where I was even like bothered or care that much about it. It didn't affect me. And I'm like, this is a 65-year-old man saying this. We're in 2023 where people are still acting like Black people are oppressed. Like, we're still being segregated, even though they're intentionally segregating themselves through colleges and all these other safe space for Black people or all whatever minority you are. And it's just, it's stupid. It's not fruitful. And it's just a division caused intentionally by left ideological. Their point is to just basically divide everyone so that they can be in control, victimize everyone so that they can get their vote. They don't really care about people. And because of what they've done, you see what's happening in Atlanta. You see what happened during 2020 when George Floyd died. You see all this stuff happening, reactionary, emotional reactions to things instead of actually thinking about how did this happen. We just react instead of, it's just messed up.
Yeah, I think it was from what I heard, it was some big person that had a large following on Twitter, I think. And
the guy who died.
Initiated the violence.
Oh, got it.
Yeah, that somebody had tweeted out something to effect like "go get him" or something, and then all of these Antifa BLM people. And I think it's important to mention that it's mostly white people that are out there.
It always is. It always is. It's crazy how that happens.
It is. And, and in 2020, when this all happened and the whole world was on lockdown with the George Floyd incident, and then you had all these kids coming out on the street protesting and rioting, I thought to myself, well, of course they're going to want to be involved in this because we have, suppress them from going out for so long, not to mention social media. See, you're at the age, so my oldest son is 31 and my daughter is 28. So you guys remember when there wasn't any cell phones, right?
Right. No social media either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, you have a sense of what normal life would be like. Let's take away normal life, but socialization and the art of picking up a phone or maybe even mailing a letter or something, to communicate with people. And so I think a lot of these kids joined in on that movement just to belong to something. Yeah,
100%. Well, that's what it is too. And like do you want to be an ally to this group that's victimized and marginalized? Do you want to be an ally? If not an ally, you're a racist. It's not enough to be not racist. You have to be anti-racist. You have all these influencers and all these people. That doesn't even make sense. If you're not racist, you are by definition anti-racist. Like it's just so stupid. Like they make all these buzzword terms to try and make people be within whatever it is they want them to be. And it's messed up. It's not helpful. It's all intentional. It's all part of their plan to just be in control and to victimize people. They made people so soft over time. I'm sure you grew up in a time where people could take a joke. Yes. I grew up when people could take a joke. Like I'll make jokes against Black people all the time with my family members. Like we'll make these stupid stereotypical jokes because it's funny. And mm-hmm. I mean, you see what's happening with the comedians. Like Dave Chappelle gets attacked and all these people I remember they wanted Kevin Hart to host the Oscars, but he had said something about gay people like 10 years prior. And they were like, oh, we're taking him away. And then when everyone had uproar because he did that, they're like, oh, we want him back. He's like, no, I'm not doing that. Screw you guys. Like, I'm not,
right. Yeah.
Some sort of joke. Like, no, it's so dumb.
It's so dumb. Now I grew up. So my dad grew up in Tennessee and he is 76 years old. And he grew up around the racism, right? And so even when he moved to Chicago and he was in Chicago at his job that he was at for 30 years, it was 99% Black people that worked in the company. And he was like the only white guy, right? Sure. One of the only ones. I mean, really just a handful of people. And so, my dad was that person that was always making these stereotypical jokes, right? Yeah. Constantly. When my friends would come over to the house and my Black friends would come over to the house, he would say the jokes in front of them. And then, probably 10 years later, he winds up divorcing my mom and marrying a Black woman. And so my stepmom, they're 20 years now together. And my friends would be like, oh, hell no. Joe moved the Jeep. He got a black woman. Oh, I can't wait to talk some smack to him when I see him. But, you know, I mean, it was all in good fun. But now it seems like you can't have that type of fun bantering back and forth without people being offended.
Well, yeah, no. And also it's like it's so like hypocritical, and like the way they justify it is insane. So like you can make a joke against a white person. Any joke you want, it could be actually really rude and to the point where you shouldn't have even made that joke. And it's justified. You know why? Because when you make jokes against black people, it's rooted in deep things that happened way back in the day. So they'll say that it's justifiable for us to get mad when you make jokes against us because, you know, the history of our country. And it's like, shut up. You never experienced any of that. Like, I hate when they try and like act like, oh, like there's still some sort of like depression over black people because some of their ancestors. And also the level of I guarantee you like 90% of the country, their ancestors weren't actually slaves, since there was like 3% of the population that actually owned slaves. So they couldn't have owned all of your grandparents or great, great grandparents. So like, there's no way that's a thing, and they want reparations and all that stuff, but it's so dumb because of history. You can't make a joke towards us, but we can insult you and make a joke towards you. At that point, it's just being rude and intentionally cruel to a demographic because you feel like you can get away with it and they can't because you didn't go through it. Mm-hmm. And they probably most likely, because of the only being like 3% of the country having slave owners, their great grandparents or whoever, whatever, however far back you have to go, probably didn't own slaves either. Obviously some did, but it's like their justification for the behavior, it's illogical and stupid.
I completely agree. Well, you know what? Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Okay. Well, I am from Michigan, Grand Rapids, Michigan, or suburbs of that. I was born in Oklahoma. My parents were at a Bible college. That's why they were there. Moved when I was two. I grew up with, well, there's eight of us kids, a big fam, both same parents. Everyone always asks that. Same parents? Yes. Same parents. and I've always been, I mean, we were raised in a Christian household, so I've always been a Christian, a man of faith. So like I never really got into political things in high school. Nobody focused on that stuff in high school. Like, you just, you know, my dad's a Republican. Oh, my dad's a Democrat. I don't remember hearing that really. I knew we were Republican because of my parents. So I knew that they believed, my dad's pastors, but they're pro-life. They're all these things. And I remember sitting up and watching George W. Bush versus John Kerry with my dad, debates and everything when I was a kid. And I mean, that was about it. That was the extent of it. I mean, people talked about abortion. I was like, well, clearly that's wrong. Like, I remember in a high school one time, there was a class where they were talking about it, and I was like, you guys are insane. You're killing a kid. Like, there's no justification for that. What are you talking about? And that was the extent of my political conversations until 2015, which I think is when everyone got involved, right? Everyone's like, whoa, what's going on? When Trump starts, goes on the escalator, and he starts saying things that are so controversial and crazy, like putting America first or something like that. In America, who would have thought? What a concept. But I started getting involved then, just like with Facebook wars with people. Like, I remember I went to this rally and I somehow weaseled my way through the crowd to get a picture with him. And he's like, you better vote for me. And it was super cool that I got to meet him. And then and that night I posted it, the picture, and I got like 200 comments of people saying, he's a bigot. He's a racist. He's this and he's that. And I'm like, what are you guys talking? Like, he's literally with me. We're in a picture together. What racist that hates black people is going to sit there and take a picture with him willingly if they hate me so much? But, anyways, I throughout the year, I started like just having Facebook wars with people about Trump's not bad. I support him completely. Like, I hope he gets the nomination. He did get the nomination. There's no way he's going to win. Well, I'm supporting him. Hope he does. And then he won. And then I kind of just stopped worrying about politics at all. I was like, oh, we're cool. He won. So now we're safe, which is kind of stupid because the fact that nobody was speaking during that time period allowed what happened to happen. Like, had I started what I'm doing now then, I could have had an impact on people because I've changed people's minds. I've had people say, wow, you made me change my mind. I didn't think about it that way. Or the video, and like, that makes so much more sense. This victimization people are doing, or whatever it is, whatever I'm talking about. And they're like, oh, wow. And so I was like, dang, I could have made that impact then. And maybe things wouldn't have been the way it does. Obviously there's questionable things about the 2020 election anyway. So, but I'm just saying, you know,
yeah,
frustrating that so many people got up and blew up after, you know, like because they're fighting, you know, we're kind of late in our reaction to Trump and supporting him and all that stuff. But I started in 2020 during the debates with Biden. I was just like, this guy's stupid, he's a liar. Just started making videos on TikTok and started growing really fast. And I just kept making videos, just whether it was funny, goofy, but serious. I mean, it's real topics I'm talking about, but I was just like being funny with it because I can't, I'm like 99% of the time sarcastic and joking around. So I'd make videos and started doing well. I told my brother to do it. We just both started making videos and just grew really quickly, got over 100,000 followers on TikTok. And then my buddy, who was also, he was an influencer, like a faith influencer, talking about God and trying to get people saved. And I was a Christian, but I was like, no, this is pissing me off. This is what I'm going to talk about. And, he told me to push me towards YouTube. Start posting on shorts, bro. You have to. So then I did. And I'm kind of paraphrasing. It's a long story. It's like 2-3 years.
Sure.
So I started posting on YouTube. And within like a month, I had 100,000 subscribers. And within a few months, I passed my TikTok. Then I got banned on TikTok. Then I had to create 2 other TikToks. Which I'm not. I got up to 340,000 followers on TikTok, and they just banned me. But then I had surpassed myself on YouTube, so I was like, "I'm safe," because YouTube is better than TikTok anyway. TikTok is like the worst platform for censoring; it's like terrible. But
it's terrible.
So I created 2 other TikToks, and now I got like 100,000 subscribers combined again. But I don't really care about that. It's more of just getting the message out.
Yeah.
You know, and just
well, I saw you have almost 1 million subscribers on YouTube.
Yeah. We're almost at 900. We're getting there. And it's been a little over a year. So it's like making good progress pretty fast. I just really care about having conversations with people. Why don't you debate? Why don't you debate? I was like, I'll have a conversation with some liberal. I'm not going to debate because that's just all about, oh, I'm right. You're wrong. In the sense of like getting one up and making someone look dumb and making someone feel dumb. And that's not my intention. Like, I believe what you believe is dumb. But I'm not going to like sit there and try and insult you and make you feel bad. I just want to have an actual conversation. Why do you think that's okay that a 5-year-old who's a boy thinks it's okay to cut off his genitals? Why do you think that's okay? They can't even get a tattoo until they're 18. They can't vote until they're 18. They can't do so many things, but you're going to think that they're in the right mind to do something like that, a life-altering surgery or whatever. So I think it's important to have discussions. But not debates aren't like you'll watch Ben Shapiro or someone or Charlie Kirk debate someone. Oh my gosh, they just destroy them. That's so cool. And like, you're so happy. But it's like that person probably went away not ever wanting to change their mind because they're so mad at how maybe they got destroyed and they're so prideful. People are prideful. You can't embarrass them and think they're going to change. Sometimes they do. Some people are humble enough to do it, but not a lot are. And that's kind of what I want to do. And so I actually just moved back from Texas to Michigan. So I was from Michigan, moved to Texas, came back to Michigan. And I have some friends who are liberal, but they're very logical, kind-hearted liberals.
Yes.
And I want to have discussions with them on my channel. Just be like, so why do you think this? One of them is smarter than me. I promise you he's smarter than me. I just have a very strong foundation on what I believe to be true. And I feel like I'm well-versed to a degree on like what those things are. So when I have discussions with him, and I think he's more intelligent than me in terms of like IQ probably, but like he'll be like, oh, wow, I didn't think about it like that. I'm just pretty logical. I think that's what my way is. I'm like, this just doesn't make sense. Make this make sense to me. And that's kind of like, that's kind of me. And yeah, I've been loving it. I didn't know this was what I was going to be doing, but here we are. And I think it's important that people, that community is like, we don't all need to focus on what's going on in the world. Like, I mean, we need to focus on what's going on. We don't need to focus on what's going on in politics. We all need to care about our communities and take care of our communities. Then we wouldn't be as reliant on the government, because if we all helped each other out, churches need to be more involved in the communities. All these things need to happen because government's not doing anything to help and they want more control. I mean, we see what's happening. It's with the World Economic Forum and all these things and their affiliations with the liberals and the Democrats. Just it's sketchy and it's sus. There's a lot. It's so much to cover.
Much to cover. I mean, the evil runs deep, you know, and when I feel you, it's like kind of hard to talk about it because it's like, okay, well, which path do you want me to go down? Because that's going to branch off like 20 yeah, different areas.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Which is why we need multiple voices, which I'm glad you're doing what you're doing. And, you know, we have, you know, Charlie Crook, you have Stephen. I mean, there's controversy right now with Stephen Crowdy and the Daily Wire, but they're still doing things that are making an impact. And some people, and I truly believe this with all my heart, like there's people that will listen to me or that won't listen to me no matter what I say, because they don't like the way I say it. They don't like me. They hate my personality, whatever it is. But you could say the same thing in your own way and they'll listen to you. They're like, oh, I like Jody. That makes sense to me. I didn't think about it like that. She was sweet, or she was whatever she was, the way you say it. And so I think that's why it's important that we all speak out and, mm-hmm, you know, make our voices known to the world, because you're going to change someone's mind that I couldn't, or that Ben Shapiro couldn't, or that Stephen Crowder couldn't, or that nobody, you know? So we're vital. We're so vital in this time.
Yeah, I definitely. And I think from what I gather and I see, the majority of the people that are joining in this fight and that are outspoken, you know, most of them all say that they, you know, God led them to do this. And it's so powerful because I've always had a relationship with the Lord, but I never really spoke about it, you know, outwardly. Because I just, there wasn't really a need to. I mean, I'm not a preacher or anything, but I have been hearing over and over and over again since blowing the whistle in September of 21 that I have a ministry. And I'm like, I have a ministry. Well, I think, you know, like we all know, you know, with the end times, you know, it's not the way that I envisioned it in my head, but yeah. I surely feel that we are here and, you know, and I don't know at what point in it, nor do I care. Yeah. But I do know that this war is raging over good and evil, and people are being called out from all walks of life, all denominations. You know, I'd like to get your take on the Christian church, because yeah. I'll tell you, I stopped saying I was Christian. Like if somebody's like, oh, you're a Christian. I'm like, yeah, I believe in Jesus. I'm a follower of Messiah. That's what I am, because I don't align with a lot of, you know, the handling of these last 3 years at all.
Yeah. I mean, some churches obviously stood up and some churches didn't. I think a lot of churches are so concerned about their members and keeping them and running a flow. Obviously, there's an element of church that is a business, but ultimately, specifically when it comes to like Christ, and if you're a pastor, and like, I mean, it says in the Bible, you're going to be harshly, more harshly judged when you're a minister or a preacher or a teacher. So like, you need to, above all things, put him first. And I mean, I always call myself a Christian because that's what the Bible calls us. But I understand that, because a lot of Christians, they're not Christians, or they don't behave as Christians. Mm-hmm. Like, you are putting worldly, like all these churches that put the LGBT community or the LGBT flag or BLM, all these things, literally putting divisive things in the church. I think you should love on people. Allow a gay person in your church, of course. You can put Patrice Cullors shows up to your church, by all means. I mean, she's terrible, but like, if they're trying to have a relationship with Christ and trying to change, but the difference is, the church, the Lord should be changing them, not you being changed by the person that's in your seats. And that's a problem.
I like that.
That's something that's changed. That's something that's going on in the churches nowadays. It's like, we're conforming to the people instead of letting those people be conformed by God or changed by God. And it says, you lift me up and I'll bring the people. There's scripture. I'm paraphrasing it.
Yeah.
All you have to do is follow what the manual says. Like, the Bible tells you what it is to do, how a church is supposed to be run, what the principles are, what's right, what's wrong. It's very black and white, and with a lot of things. And obviously there's interpretation, obviously there's theology and all that stuff that people need to, like, I think is important as well, but like interpreting it correctly. But there's some things that are just blatantly in the Bible. You cannot refute it. You cannot say, oh, well, that's your interpretation. No, if it says a man should not lay with another man, that's literally what the Bible says. If it's like, you can't say, oh, well, they're homosexual, he's not. It's either you believe the Bible or you don't. Don't be a self-proclaimed Christian and then try and live a life outside of the guidelines of what the Bible says. I'm not saying people don't sin. We do. We all make mistakes.
Right. All the time.
And we'll continue to make mistakes. I'm not trying to say that you never will. You're perfect and you should be perfect. But a repentant heart turns away from sin and tries to do its best to continue to live righteously. And the churches are not doing that. A lot of the churches aren't. Some of them are. Like some churches will stood up during COVID and they're like, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to close down. If you think, how is it that you're going to say a strip club is essential, liquor stores are essential, but the church isn't? That's insane. That justification actually makes no sense whatsoever. I mean, my dad's a pastor, so I don't think they ever closed down. If they did, they changed locations, because if they were wherever they were at, it might have been like, no, you're closing down. But there's a lot more that could be done that should be done by the church. They need to stand up and be biblical in their teachings and stand strong and not be worried, because it'll be called bigoted, it'll be called hateful, homophobic. They throw all these names towards us, and it's just like, you're bigoted. Because based on the definition, you're a bigot because you will not, you believe what you believe and you think it's right, and you will not be able, you will not, you will unreasonably believe that you're superior, your belief is superior, and that anything else opposed to it is wrong, and you'll demonize and vilify those people. I was like, that's bigotry. Like, to say that we're bigoted, then you're bigoted as well. So it's just dumb. They're just throwing buzzword terms to like make you look bad. That's all it is. But to church, if they rose up against that, if every person that's truly a believer stood up against that, we would not be where we are right now.
No.
Because there's a lot more believers, I think, out there that are just too scared to say anything because everyone's afraid of cancellation. You they can't cancel if you don't care. They really can't. I could care.
That's a good one. I like that because that's very important. Don't care. Like I don't care what other people think of me. I seriously stopped when I was a 16-year-old mom, you know, and I was a baby bringing my baby to school. You know, I stopped caring and I realized that there's great power in that. And so many people don't understand that concept. So when you have people like yourself or me and so many others, that's why it's so important for us to speak our truth, because courage is contagious and people just flock to that kind of confidence. They need it, you know? And I think so much that like the Lord is calling upon on their heart and tugging at their heart to go one way. But they're just so afraid, you know, to do it because they're just continuing to live in the world. And so when we come back after break, I want to pick up on that discussion. But before we do, I do want to shout out one of our sponsors, Healthy Cell. They have these amazing gel packs that are that the delivery system is so much different than taking a pill. You know, sometimes that's hard on, you know, people's stomachs and stuff. But I started taking this Healthy Cell, the Focus and Recall version, because I need focus and I need my memory. And so they also have, you know, antioxidants in there. I mean, it's cognitive fuel and brain energy, the brain and blood flow support, vitamin B, vitamins. So I've been taking these for a couple weeks. And what I noticed is that I can't take them at night because they do have a little bit of stimulants. I believe it's from the B12, and they also have like green tea extract. That's what it was. So I've been taking them in the morning and going to work out. And if you're interested in it, you can go to Healthy Cell and use the code America Out Loud, or go to AmericaOutLoud.com and purchase directly from the store. So we'll be right back after the break.
It's time and this is what.
Trouble concentrating or recalling information is frustrating, embarrassing, and kills productivity. Nutrition company Healthy Cell created Focus and Recall to boost your brain power. Unlike other supplements that don't work, Focus and Recall is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra absorption of science-backed ingredients to help you immediately sharpen focus, concentrate longer, and strengthen recall. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code out loud. These days, every time you turn on the news, it seems like there's a new threat to your health. Maintaining a strong immune system has never been more critical. Advanced Nutrition Company, Healthy Cell, created Immune Super Boost to help you strengthen your immunity. Unlike other supplements that don't work, Immune Super Boost is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra absorption of science-backed nutrients proven to support immunity, like vitamin C, D3, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea. These physician-formulated gels come in a small gel pack. Tear off the top and shoot it down, or mix it in water. Boost your immunity. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD.
Oh,
All right. You've all heard Malcolm and the great Dr. Peter McCullough talk about the povidone iodine-based nasal spray Cofix RX. They talk about it because it's a product that actually works in combating colds, flus, and coronaviruses. Cofix is made in the USA and recommended by thousands of doctors and pharmacists nationwide. It's simple. By attacking viruses where they incubate, you make it easier for your body to heal. Check out the Cofix RX banner ad on AmericaOutloud.com and save 20% by using promo code OUTLOUD.
It was Henry Wadsworth Longfellow that said, "Lives of great men all remind us we can make our lives sublime and departing, leave behind us footprints on the sands of time." America Out Loud Talk Radio, liberty and justice for all.
It's time, and this is war. All right. Thank you for joining me. You guys are listening to Nurses Out Loud, and I'm your host, Nurse Jody O'Malley. I have Titus Ellis Smith on Instagram here. He's has over a million subscribers, and he is in his late 20s. He's a Black man and a Christian, and who has just been influencing so many people. So I just wanted to bring him on to the show today and talk about all different types of things. And we left off talking about the end. What was it? End times?
The church.
The church. Thank you. See, I need the focus and recall.
Yes. The church is, it's vital that they stand up and do something. I like what you said earlier about a ministry. Like people like think of ministry and they always think that means you're going to be a pastor or you're going to be like a worship leader. Or like you're in ministry. No, your life is a ministry. And so like, this is what you're doing right now. What I'm doing. Cause I always thought like, okay, if I'm going to do ministry, then that means I'm going to, cause I was a worship leader. I was like, that's what I'm going to be. I'm going to be like the next Brandon Lake or Chandler Moore or someone like, and I'm like, this is also ministry. You know, this is influencing people in bringing them closer to biblical principles. Like there's people that became one that became red pilled. And then when we became red pilled, that brought them to Christianity and the faith, because a lot of the conservative ideals and beliefs they're all stemmed, at least out of my biblical or out of my Christianity and my faith. I probably would be fine with a lot of things that the liberals say are okay if I didn't have God. You know, I'd be like, oh yeah, this is fine. Why? I don't care. This is fine. But there's reasons why God said they're wrong. It's not like he's not saying these things are wrong because he hates you. They're saying them because he created you and he knows what's best for you. But I think churches, I think we said the church needs to stand up. Like that's something that's been well established. And people just need to speak of it. And we were also saying people are afraid of being canceled. We need to stop caring about what people think. I care about what my family thinks. I care about what my close friends think. And that's about it. Like somebody, I mean, I just did a live stream with one of my best friends or my best friend about what was going on with the drama between Daily Wire and Steven Crowder. And I was just like, all the other people in the comment section were getting angry at me. Like, oh, you think the Daily Wire, I didn't pick a side. I said, I understand both sides. I lean more one way or the other. People are like, oh, you're a sellout. I'm just like, what are you talking about? Like people, if I allow that to affect me because all these people were trying to say, oh, I'm mad at you for saying this or whatever. Then I'd be like in my little corner like crying and upset. But we need to stop caring what people think. They don't know you. Mm-hmm. They're literally calling you something and you're believing what they say about you when you know you better than they do. And people are so concerned about other people's thoughts. And when you stop caring, that's how you begin to actually create influence. Like you were saying something earlier about confidence is what draws people to you. And that's so true. Like think about this Andrew Tate guy. Obviously he's in prison right now. But he was very confident in the way he said the things he said. And he got such a massive audience that these people will die for this man. Like it doesn't matter what he says. I mean, even people in our movement, like we only got the influence we got because we stood up and were strong and confident in what we believe to be true. And I mean, that's what the other side does, except for they're not individuals. They all come and have this herd mentality. And they all think if they all comment on your post that you'll like shut down. If they think if they all come together at these pride events and these drag show things that we'll all shut down. That's not how it works. But yeah, we just gotta, don't worry about being canceled. I would not care about that at all. You can't be canceled unless you let them cancel you. Cause as soon as you apologize for believing or for standing up for what you believe, they're going to destroy you.
destroy you. Like when they sense weakness, I mean, that it's like a bunch of piranhas coming at you, you know?
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
I had my son, my 13-year-old, when I had asked him on our interview last week, I said, well, what did you think about the BLM riots and stuff? And he was like, I don't know. You know, like, I can't tell how hard that his knee was on his neck. I wasn't there. I don't know, you know, if he did do it, like, that's horrible, but it doesn't happen all the time. It's not like it's an issue necessarily, yeah. Right? Like, we can't trust our cops, you know, and so it is. And he's like, you know, in his 13-year-old way of talking. And I said, I remember when all of social media was putting the blackout screen on there. I go, did you do it? And he said, no. And I know he didn't do it because I follow his Instagram, you know, yeah. And on his Instagram, on his bio, it says pronouns, /1/cares.
I love this kid. That honestly was one of the smartest responses that I've ever heard from anyone. It's like, I wasn't there. I don't know. The video isn't really that clear. The based off different angles, it looks like his knee was on his back or his neck. And obviously it was at some period of time. My thing is, like you said, one incident does not mean we come against the whole establishment for one person slipping up, even if he did intentionally do it. And we all know he was on fentanyl, and like they're
right.
The cause of death is still, I don't even know if it's to be if it's been given like fully, but you're right. Like they wanted to take this one instance and just come against everything. Police brutality, defund the police. That doesn't even make sense. If anything, fund the police more so you can make sure you can vet people better and get better people in.
Exactly. Exactly. So when I asked him if he had said anything or done that, I go, did you have any of your friends come out and say anything to you? And he said, well, if they did, I just left them on read. It's like, you're so funny. All these little smart terms. Smart
kid. Left him on reds.
Left him on red. That's what he said. Reed.
That's so funny. As he should. Like, I mean, it sounds like he's very confident in what he believes. And my thing is, that's the one thing I like about it. How he handled this is like, I don't know. If it is, then if he did do that, then that's wrong. If he didn't, then, you know, I wasn't there. Everyone acts like they were. And they want their virtue signaling points. A lot of these influencers that are super woke, or celebrities, they just want to look like they're good people. They don't actually care. Like, it's just like, how can I get a lot of likes on this post? This is another thing. Everyone cares so much about likes and everything. Now, obviously, as influencers, or I hate that term, but like as people that are personalities, we want people to see our content, of course. Mm-hmm. But our reasoning is different. It's not like we don't do it for money. We don't do it for the likes. We do it for the reach and for the influence to actually influence people's lives for the better. That's why we're doing it. Like, because right, we want people to understand at least our perspective, if not agree, at least understand, you know? And that's why we want engagement. That's why we want likes and views. It's not because we need, I honestly, on all platforms, I have 900,000 on YouTube. I have 40,000 almost on Instagram. I have over 100,000 on TikTok. And I legit would not care if I lost it all if it meant people would be regular, normal, and like think logically. I get rid of all of it. If people didn't demonize you for your beliefs. And what happened with this guy, this hockey player, Ivan, I don't even know how to pronounce his last name. He got heat for not putting a pride flag or something on his jersey. A lot of his whole team did, but he decided not to because it went against what he believed, his religion. Mm-hmm. And he got like ran through the mud for it. People were attacking this guy, this reporter. His reporter was saying something about like they need to find the team or find him or something like that. And it's like, that's so crazy. Like, imagine if it was the other way around and he was saying there was some knight dedicated to faith or Christianity and said everyone must put the cross on their jersey. Everyone must put a picture of Jesus on the cross on their jersey. And one gay guy who decides he is anti-God and hates Jesus is like, I just decline. I promise you, no one would bat an eye. But because it's the other way around, they want to demonize him. And it's always about demonizing, vilifying, and victimizing a marginalized group. It's so dumb.
It really is. I mean, you know, I would think about, you know, with a professional athlete. So with like DeMar Hamlin, you know, dropping dead on the field, and, you know, by a miracle, you know, is totally recovered, it looks like, walking around. I haven't heard him come out and talk about the vaccine. Have you?
No.
I don't get it. Like, you know, I saw a post that he had done and he's like, oh, God has big plans for me. And I thought, yes, he does, brother. Yes, he does. Now tell us, were you in that 95% that got shot up? Because his doctor, I guess, came out and said, and I don't know, you know, we never know if this is true, but saying that he just had a complete physical in December and he was healthy and he got his booster shot.
Oh, the doctor did say that.
That's what they're saying. And then the Twitter, you know, is gone now, but, you know, who knows?
Right.
Who knows?
Well, I mean, my thing is, I mean, what happened to patient doctor confidentiality? Like,
right.
Like, when it comes to like this mandate and everything, people aren't supposed to know your business. It wasn't until 2020 or whenever the vax came out that people decided that they should have information on what you did with your doctor, your medical decisions. That's like, are you vaxxed? Are you not? First of all, if I am or I'm not, it's none of your business. You don't need to know that. It's such an invasion of privacy. And I mean, I'm not, and I don't plan to, but it's just insane how things twisted over the last few years.
Like overnight.
Yeah, it's crazy. Because before, if you had even thought about asking someone their medical, you would never think to ask someone their medical information. Well, did you get a physical when you were in high school? You know, because you know you have to get those. Like, you would never ask someone that. Like, yeah, I played basketball in high school and football and wrestling. I did all these sports. Oh, really? Did you get a physical with your doctor? Because you know you need to get one. Like, no one would ever say that. No one would ever say, did you get those things that you need to get done? Hey, did you? Like, no. Because it's none of their business. It's inappropriate. And it's like nobody's business.
It's but completely.
Now, did you get vaxxed?
Yeah. Or do you have HIV?
Yeah, you no one asks that.
Right. Hey, when's the last time you got tested? You know,
so you're gay. You have HIV? You're gay. Do you have AIDS?
No. Like, I know.
You don't ask people that. Did you go to your doctor and make sure you get tested for chlamydia or anything? Like, nobody asked that. You've been having sex. You're involved in hookup culture. Do you have chlamydia? Do you have an STD? Did you, like, nobody does that. But for some reason, when it comes to the vaccine, it's like totally cool.
And it's appropriate and
necessary.
Applaud it. Yeah. And necessary. Yeah. It's crazy. I want to go back to the confidence portion just because you exude that light. I remember when I first met you, like you walked in and everybody's taking pictures with you. And I just joked and I was like, I don't know who you are, but I think I should probably take a picture. And now I'm like, oh, I could probably use it for the show.
Oh yeah. Honestly.
You know, but, you know, there's just certain people, you know, I mean, I've been told so many times, like throughout my whole life, actually, you know, oh wow. Like when you walk in the room, you know, people notice. And it doesn't matter what I look like, you know, at all. I could, you know, just be rolling out of bed. There's just some people have that and some people don't. And do you know how to help people get that? Why would you say?
I think being like, really, I mean, obviously some people are more just prone to be insecure than others. And people are more prone to being, you can be a quiet confidence too. Like, not everyone has to be so like, whatever. My personality is just animated. Like, I just am very, I guess. I'm tall too. Like, I'm very tall. I have a presence, I guess. I'm tall. I'm black. And especially when I'm at these conservative events, they're going to like, even though there are black conservatives, they're still going to look at you like, what does he do? Like, what is he doing here? People always ask me, so when did you like convert? When was your red pill moment? When did you convert to conservatism? I was like, I've always been. Oh, really? Shocked. It's so funny. But I mean, I get it. Like, if you watch the news, you're immediately going to think everyone who's black is a Democrat and super liberal and woke and is wearing their BLM tattoo on their arm. But I mean, I think my parents raised me to be that way. My parents have both come off very confident. They're both very like, we know what we believe, we know where we stand, and this is what it is. And it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. And family's most important overall, God and family. Like, my parents have always been like that. And so they're always also, I think, the reason why I'm very distrusting of everyone. I'm just like, no, I feel like I can read people pretty well. I'm like, no, you have an ulterior motive. Like, even if they're like on our side, I'm just like, I'm very, aware, and I feel like I can read people. And I think it's attributed to my parents. It just raised us to be confident and know that we have a gift. God, you know, God has given everyone a gift. God's given everyone an assignment. And, you know, I mean, my parents probably went a little too far sometimes. Like, you're so special. All right, I'm not all that. But like, but that's a parent. That's how parents are. You know, you can anything.
So you were raised with a lot of love.
Yeah. Yeah. Parents, you can do whatever you want, whatever you put your mind to. Which is funny because I don't even agree with that. Like I tell them, like, I think you can do whatever you're capable of doing, whatever your gifts are, you can do that. But like, I don't think you can do whatever you want. Like, I'm never going to be LeBron James. I can't be LeBron James if I want to be LeBron James. 6'8", 280 pounds of just muscle and power. And like, I'm never going to be that. So like, I don't agree with that statement, but I understand the reason why people say it. It's like pursue your dreams if you're passionate about something. And obviously when you get into it, when you're younger, you're more likely to be great at it when you're older.
Yeah.
But yeah, they've always kind of given instilled confidence in us and who we are. And that doesn't mean we don't deal with insecurities, but it's just kind of like, I know who I am and I know where I stand, and that will not be budged from that. You know, I'm not saying I'm unwilling to compromise or I'm unwilling to have conversations and have my mind changed when actual facts are presented, but it's just not going to be that easy. I'm not going to go because BLM started and it says Black Lives Matter, I must follow them because yes, my Black Life matters. No, that's not what happens. It's like, what are they doing? Are they where's their money going? Like, questions that people don't ask, and critical thinking is something they're trying to take away. But my parents, yeah, they kind of raised us all like that. And we're all like, I don't know if you ever took the Enneagram test, or I don't even know if it's accurate, but like half of us are eights, and that's called the challenger. So we challenge everything.
So like, you've always been like that, challenging, critically thinking.
Yeah.
I've been the same. I mean, my dad was always telling me, "Oh, Jody, you ask too many questions." And I'm like, too bad. You know, I mean, I would never say that because I'd get the leather belt whoop. I mean, like, you know, yeah.
It's always the normal people that had a leather belt.
Right. You know, so I think what I'm hearing from you is for people to look inward and see what are your natural talents, your God-given gifts, and really hone on those and put them forth in the world.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it says in the Bible, your gift will make room for you and bring you before great men. And it's in Proverbs, and that's like the book of wisdom. And I think everyone should read that book all the time because it just has so many nuggets that you can apply to your life on an everyday scale. I'm not saying everybody's going to be a multimillionaire or be a huge influencer, but that not everybody wants to be. And I think this or should want to be, because there's this whole thing about like fame and everyone, like, and that's another problem. Social media is like good, positive and negatives. Like, everybody wants the likes. Everybody wants to, oh, they don't like my picture. You get like validation, you get a dopamine hit from people like liking you. It's like, how about, you shouldn't care about random people liking you more than you care about your family and your friends knowing who you are and knowing that you're a good person and loving you. Like, and that's what should be like really what matters most. But everybody, it's so superficial. The world we live in now, they're so focused on those things. And you have girls caring so much about that. They're starting accounts on OnlyFans to get validation and get money. And we've become so debaucherous over time.
We have. And I think, you know, I feel as though the evil has just been unleashed the last few years. And that is really taking a lot of us that, you know, for you, you say, you know, 2015 is when you woke up. For me, it was 2020. You know, 2020, I was like, wait a second, the whole world's getting on board with this?
Yeah.
Wait, what? And then I literally looked up and I was like, oh, I'm supposed to pay attention to this part, right? And the Lord was like, yup. And so I did. And I continued on. I, you know, this people don't understand. It's like when you are considered an influencer and people are drawn to you and they like revel in what you've done or in your presence, it's a lot. It takes a lot of energy. Even though it's good, positive energy, it's really draining to maintain. And this isn't anything that I would have ever wanted for myself at all. I actually, you know, I mean, I have my book coming out, but that's, I saw the need there, right? I saw so many people asking, how did you do it? You know, all of this. And so I was like, okay, I need to put this in black and white and hopefully encourage others that are on the fence, encourage other people that are, you know, oh, should I say something or whatever, to have them speak out, because like, I'm okay. You know, I'm doing okay. I mean, I have to find some work and make some money soon, because this is really hard to do volunteering all the time. You know, I've worked more now in the last 15 months than I have, you know, in the last 3 years, essentially.
Well, honestly, that's what's weird is like, I mean, slowly, because you said something about like the money, like, well, this is such an important movement. Like, there'll be people will, I worked for like a super PAC that gave like millions of dollars to these people to register Republicans to vote, go door to door and ask these people these questions, and to try and get people to register to vote and everything. Why would you not, so those same people, the Republican donors, give money to these influencers to help them like get their word out or something? I don't know the exact format or what to do exactly. It's not me, because if you love what people are doing, and almost in a way, an alternative to like, I don't hate pitching ads to people. Like I know it's necessary, but I hate it. I having to like be like, hey, also guys, can you do this? Because unless it's like with Public Square or with like Mike Lindell, or like, okay, these people are actually fighting the fight, so I don't mind saying do that. But like with like, if it's just something random, like I don't have a coffee like sponsor, but if I did, it's just like, okay, I'm interrupting this video and I'm talking to you about transgenderism or BLM to tell you about this thing. And I understand it's necessary. It is. It's necessary. And if it's helpful to the people, even if it is helpful, I'm still just like, can I just talk about the video? Can I talk about what I want to, like, what I believe to be, like, I don't really want to do this. And then they have the whole implication of you being a sellout. It's like, no, but you say you love this content. You say this is helping people. It's helping you. So in order for me to do this full time, like you want me to, I have to do this, even though I hate it. So I wish people that are funding conservative movements that aren't doing anything, that aren't actually helping, would take that money and put it somewhere else that's actually going to cause change and affect change. And that's a whole other conversation, but I just, there's something that we could be doing better. And I don't know, maybe one of us will be the one to figure it out. But, until then, make sure to go to mypillow.com and put in the promo code. I'm just kidding.
How can people find you, Titus?
You can find me. So I have a podcast with my brother. And so this, I think my show, his show, everything is under the umbrella of Smith Bros. Smith Bros, SMITHBROS, not theirs. Everyone would like Smith Brothers. Nope, Smith Bros. You can go to smithbrospodcast.com. We have a newsletter and everything. You can find me on every platform, Titus Ellis Smith, Smith Bros Podcast. You look any of that up, you'll find it all. And that's how you can find me.
Yeah, awesome. Awesome. You know, we only have a few more minutes. Is there anything you wanted to touch on?
No, not really. But I just want to say I'm very thankful and grateful that you asked me to come on this show. I think it's always good when people have conversations about stuff. You know, your perspective and my perspective are different. We grew up in different, you know, eras, I guess, and different. And we both are now experiencing a new era that's so crazy. And we're like, where we grew up in times where it wasn't this bad. And yet they come against the past all the time. They come against what we grew up in, where things were better, like people were kinder and there wasn't this division, an intentional push division for political gain by a lot of people. And so I think everyone should just be critical thinkers, think for yourself, ask questions, don't be heard, don't like want acceptance through conforming to things you don't know anything about. Everyone does that. Like, oh, well, they're a group right here. There's an LGBT group or there's a BLM group and I'm alone. I'm a loner. I need to feel accepted. So let me join them. Like, no, just even if the conservative, not just join us because you need community, join us because you believe it's true because of whatever your values are. Like, just be yourself, be critical, unless yourself is crazy. Like if you're a MAP person or a pedo, don't be yourself, change or go to prison. but you know, we need more actual love, not what they call love. And love and acceptance are not the same thing. You can love someone and not accept their lifestyle.
That's right.
So that's one of my biggest things. I can love you, but I do not have to accept what you do or what you like with your life. So,
yeah. Have you lost a lot of friends speaking out?
Not really. No, Not really. I don't have many like close friends. I grew up being the guy who was, like I said, super animated, had a lot of like acquaintances. Hey Titus, like, hey, what's up? I see them. Everyone goes, you know everyone. I was like, I know them, but I don't know them. We're not like close friends. And so if I lost any of those people, I wouldn't know, because all my close friends were normally, we'd believe the same. And we never talked about it. We just did. Maybe we grew up in Christian households or whatever. I have a couple friends that are liberal, but they're just like, no, you can believe what you want. And I mean, one of them unfollowed me on like TikTok back in the day because she was like, I can't keep watching this. Because it's triggering for her, because she disagrees with some stuff. But she's still my friend. Like, she'll say, let's hang out, let's do this, let's all go do this thing. So she's not like a bad person. If anything, I've had friends that were liberal that have turned conservative.
Okay.
I had a friend who was super intelligent, super smart. And a lot of this, I say this a lot, but on my show, it's like, I think a lot of liberals that are just like, you know, down here with us on our level are actually just kind hearted people that are misled and care about people, but they're going about it the wrong way. And I think the establishment is just evil and corrupt and just only caring about political gain. But I think people on everyday life, most of them just like, I care. Like, oh, if you love who you love, or people should be able to be what they want to be. And it's like, yeah, up front, that sounds great, but it's more complex than that. There's a lot of statistical things that show that your life, when you decide to live a life away from God and a life away from reality, you'll end up suicidal. And I try to tell everyone that has to be a Christian, but there's like statistically, like when you become transgender, like these people, not only are you messing up your body, putting all this stuff in there and trying to alter it from what it truly is supposed to be, there's a, like, you hate yourself and like kill yourself. Like a lot of them do, like 7 years down the road and sooner. And that's not because of us. They just try and say it's because of conservatism, because people won't accept them. If you are your truest, true self, you are so yourself, more yourself than you've ever been before, you're not going to care what other people think, because you feel so great about who you are. You're not going to let what somebody says change you from that and pivot you from that. There's people that hate me for being a Christian or hate Christianity and like won't accept it. And in this day and age, like we're looked at as the villains and everyone else looked at as heroes. So I'm never going to budge from that. So I know that's not true, because you guys don't all believe what I believe, and that doesn't affect me one bit.
I agree. I mean, I have friends that, you know, that are gay and living in gay relationships. They're still my friends. You know what I mean? They're still my friends. They know how I feel, but you know, I'm not I don't judge people. You know, that's the thing. That's not our job to judge, but it is our job to be kind and to speak our truth and to get that out there to everyone. And, you know, and just do it in the most loving, kind way possible, even with all this craziness going on. But that's all the time we have for today, friends. But remember, we are here on the air 5 days a week, Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern, with a different nurse host daily. Be sure to make AmericaOutloud.com your daily stop for all the latest news and happenings. We all must do our part and share the stories, the articles, the podcasts, and the videos, so we can help secure America's future. Until next time, be safe, be well, and God bless. This is Nurses Out Loud. We are six nurses brought together, bound by ethical principles and on our mission to protect the heart, souls, mind, and body of humanity. The last 3 years have changed us all in different ways. We want to empower and encourage others to engage in this battle. We are in a war for the truth. We're putting out a bounty on the real misinformation and exposing the purveyors of propaganda. Join us weekdays. No topic is off limits as we continue to shine our light in the darkness.
It's time, and this is